Okay, kid, make sure you're standing outside the restaurant Delmonico's, on the triangle-shaped corner between South Williams and Beaver Streets. Delmonico's has been at this spot since 1837. If you got some dough to spend, they got a great lobster Newburgh, a dish that they made up back in the 1800s. Pretty much since then, it's been the hot spot on Wall Street for the rich and powerful to grab a meal. And back in 1868, there wasn't really anyone else who could afford to eat here.
More champagne, Mr. Gold?
No, but I think Mr. Fisk here would like some more.
Fill it up, sonny boy.
Mr. Gould, Mr. Fisk, I was just up on Duane Street. Commodore Vanderbilt just sent the sheriff to arrest you. They say you sold fake Erie Railroad stock.
Thanks, Tommy. Well, just like we expected. Eat up, Fisk.
Waiter! Bill, please.
Coming right up, Mr. Fisk.
Fisk, Drew's waiting for us in New Jersey. Is the boat ready? It's foggy tonight.
Everything's all set. Have some faith in me, man. Hey, Gould, let me carry the money.
Oh, I don't think so, Fisk. I'll take that bag.
Sirs, I see the sheriff now.
It's March 11th, 1868. Just another day in the trenches of the Erie War. Now head up to Federal Hall on Wall Street and Broad. As we walk there, cross the street and walk past the corner of Williams and Exchange Place. Take a look at the corner. That big Art Deco building is the City Farmers Trust building. But back in 1869, that corner was the spot of the Gold Room, a small, dark, little cave where investors bought and sold shares of gold. We'll hear more about this when we get to Federal Hall. The Erie War was just one of the many Wall Street scandals during the Gilded Age, the period from the 1860s through the 1890s. The war began as a fight for control over the Erie Railroad. For years, the directors, Jay Gould, Jim Fisk, and Daniel Drew, made big bucks selling stock to a railroad that could barely drag itself down one track. Then Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt tried to take over the Erie Railroad by buying up all the stock. Gould, Fisk, and Drew had to stop Vanderbilt, so they began selling fake Erie Railroad stock to him. Vanderbilt spent over $7 million on the illegally printed stock before he realized his money had gone directly into their pockets. That's when Vanderbilt tried to get Fisk and Gould arrested, but they crossed state lines and escaped to New Jersey. They fought Vanderbilt in court for months until it was settled. In the meantime, the newspapers had a field day over what they called the Scarlet Woman of Wall Street. The Gilded Age was Wall Street's own version of the Wild West, the lawless frontier of America's growing economy and industry. Starting in the 1830s, new inventions like canals, steamships, railroads, and the telegraph transformed the country, and Hamilton would have been proud to see Wall Street there every step of the way, helping people to invest in the stocks and bonds that would make these new industries grow. But Jefferson would have been skeptical, because without any government rules to regulate the financial markets, there was no real way to stop a few unscrupulous men from rigging the system to make a killing.
Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt here. I built up my Staten Island empire from shipping and railroads. I'm an honorable guy, but one word of warning. If you undertake to cheat me, I won't sue, for the law is far too slow. I'll just ruin you.
They call me Uncle Daniel Drew. I started out as a cattle driver until I realized there's a lot more money to be made on Wall Street. I taught those little bastards Fisk and Gould everything they know until they scammed me out of $1.5 million from Erie. Goddamn Erie.
My name's Jim Fisk, but you can call me Jubilee Jim. Buy me another whiskey if you want to hear more about the schemes Gould and I cooked up to make a killing in the stock market.
I'm Jay Gould, but they call me the Mephistopheles of Wall Street. As a broker, speculator, and investor, I've made millions. With my brains, you could say that anything I touched turned to gold.
Stop when you get to the steps of Federal Hall. This was where things blew up in the gold panic of 1869, the second biggest scandal of the Gilded Age. A few months after the Erie War, Jay Gould got the bright idea to corner the market in gold. He actually got President Grant's own brother-in-law to convince Grant to stop selling government gold in the market. Then Gould bought up all the gold left, hoarding it to make the prices go up even higher. As gold prices skyrocketed, investors filled the gold room, thinking they were all going to make a killing.
Buy at 137, buy at 141.
The price is soaring, I'm going to make a killing.
Buy at 143, buy at 150, buy at 160, buy at 161.
Sell at 160.
Sell, sell.
Sell, the price is dropping, I'm ruined.
But Grant finally figured something was up and tried to put a stop to it. He quickly released gold from the sub-treasury, which immediately caused the price to drop.
Fellow citizens, God reigns, and the government in Washington still lives. I am instructed to inform you that the Secretary of Treasury has placed 10 million in gold upon the market.
That's future President James Garfield on September 24th, Black Friday. That morning, as traders ran from the gold room onto the streets screaming, Grant sent Garfield down to reassure everyone that there was enough gold in the market. But no one was too reassured. After all, they had just lost fortunes buying gold high and selling it low as the price dropped. On Black Friday, Gould made 10 million while most people lost their shirts. The angry mob almost got Gould that day. He barely escaped with his life. Now make a right onto Nassau Street and walk up to the corner of Nassau and Pine. Sixty years later, the historian Matthew Josephson called guys like Fisk and Gould robber barons. The Gilded Age was the first period in America's history where a few guys got really rich while everyone else scraped by. And when things got bad for the rich back then, it got even worse for the poor. In the 1870s, Jay Cook was a respected banker who lost all his bank's money investing in the shoddy Northern Pacific Railroad. By 1873, Cook was desperate to keep his bank afloat, so he made a deal with a young banker, Julius Pierpont Morgan. If they could sell a certain amount of U.S. government bonds in Europe by the end of the year, they would share a huge commission. But they didn't sell all the bonds, and Cook couldn't cover his bank's debts. You should now be at the corner of Nassau and Pine. Stop outside of the Capitol Grill restaurant on the left side of the street. This was the site of the Fourth National Bank, run by Jay Cook. On September 18th, after his deal failed, Jay Cook was forced to close his doors.
Open up! Open up this door!
Open up! I demand my money back.
I'm sorry, sir. This bank is now closed for good.
My life savings were in this bank.
I'm sorry, miss.
I want my money.
Give us our money. Give us our money. Give us our money. Give us our money.
Back then, the government did not guarantee any money you deposit in a bank. So these folks lost everything. Cook's failure led to the Panic of 1873. As other banks went down like dominoes. The New York Stock Exchange even closed for a week, for the first time ever. The panic led to a deep recession that lasted for more than 6 years. And once again, without any regulations, the government couldn't do much to fix it. Well, kid, the Gilded Age got a little tarnished after that. To hear how the Jeffersonians try to make the street fair, follow the map to Walk 4.